Good afternoon, evening, and welcome. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour one of the broadcast here on this Wednesday, and that is the 20th of December, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I have with me my regular Wednesday co-host, Mr. David Scorpio. David, welcome, brother.
Hello, Richard. I made it my way through the jungle today. I thought I might not make it to the show, but I clawed my way through the jungle, and I am here, ready to go.
Ah, yes, that concrete jungle of crony capitalist, aspirations, you know, keeping us all in our gerbil wheel, hamster wheel, running for the system.
That's about right, Richard. That sums it up. Chasing the almighty shekel.
Indeed. And it is almighty. But, things can change, right? I don't know. Are you blown away by Colorado, David? This is just Supreme Court in Colorado disqualifies Trump from 2024 ballot, setting up Supreme Court challenge. This, as of yesterday, you know, this was the data on this. Colorado Supreme Court has disqualified Donald Trump from Colorado's 2024 presidential election ballot, and in a 4-3 ruling has effectively blocked Trump from seeking the presidency because of his role in the January 6th Capitol attack, citing the post-Civil War era 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution that bans insurrectionists from holding public office. The Colorado case was the first constitutional challenge to Trump's 2024 run to go through a full trial. Voters, represented by the advocacy group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics, has argued he should be banned from the ballot for inciting the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Colorado's highest court, whose 7-member bench was entirely appointed by Democratic governors, overturned a ruling from a district court judge who found that Trump incited an insurrection for his role in the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol, but said he could not be barred from the ballot because it was unclear that the provision was intended to cover the presidency. And so now that's been overturned. Trump engaged in insurrection by inflaming his supporters with false claims of election fraud and directing them to the Capitol. The state justices determined that the office of the president is covered under the insurrection clause, which specifically lists those who previously took oaths to support the Constitution as, quote, a member of Congress, unquote, quote, officer of the United States, unquote, quote, member of any state legislature, unquote, or an, quote, executive or judicial officer of any state, unquote. The district court had previously ruled that the office of the president was not covered under the clause. The majority opinion was unsigned, but joined by 4 of the 7 justices. Those who voted for fascism, and this is their words, not mine, of course, are the following 4 Democrat-appointed judges. Justice Monica M. Marquez. Let's see, Justice William W. Hood III, Justice Richard L. Gabriel, and Justice Melissa Hart. And so these, 3 justices dissented from Tuesday's decision, Chief Justice Brian Boatwright, Carlos Samor, and Justice Maria Birkencotter. Each wrote separate dissents, taking issue on how the plaintiffs brought their 14th Amendment lawsuit under a provision of Colorado election law. Well, this wasn't an insurrection. Are they afraid to say that part? I mean, this is a joke. Well, can you look at all the footage released out there? I mean, you must consider all of that unable to be used as evidence, because, I mean, there's so much there that shows this was not an insurrection and that, you know, this was completely engineered from within. David, I'd love to hear your thoughts on everything I just included there.
Well, there's so much to go with here. There's a lot of material here, Richard. It's hard to know where to start. It kind of brings me back to the days when, George W. Bush defeated Al Gore 5-4 in the Supreme Court, if you guys remember that, back in 2000. And to call this an insurrection really is a sort of a mirror or a representation of what a fake and gay time we live in. If that was an insurrection, I don't know what to tell you. It was more like a self-guided tour of the Capitol building after, you know, the FBI, Judas Goats at the impenetrable bike racks, opened up the gates and encouraged everyone to go in there. And actually, you know, a lot of people have had their lives destroyed from simply walking through the Capitol building and really not doing anything else. So, of course, all the charges are bogus. And it'd be interesting to look at the, you know, background of those judges in terms of where they went to school, whether or not they're Freemasons, what secret societies they belong to. Because one thing's for sure, the message has been put out that Donald Trump is a marked man. And that doesn't mean he's a good guy. It just means that I believe he broke some rules of the club. He was in the club, or he wouldn't have been allowed to become president. He broke some very important rules, and he's on the outs with the insiders now, is the way I'm seeing this. And he refused to go along with the sacred ritual that America has of the peaceful transfer of power. That's part of our sacred mythology of America. He refused to go along with that, and I think it's kind of like, you can kind of put it like he was a boxer that was supposed to take a dive and he refused to do so. Now the mob is angry at him. And I think that's pretty much what's going down here. All bogus charges, of course. This is legal lawfare and corruption unlike we've never seen before, Richard.
Well, I think those points were very well put. I noticed the El Salvador president blasts quote-unquote democracy in the U.S. after, we had now, therefore, this banana republic calling Colorado's removal of Trump bad. When the president of El Salvador is condemning, this country in such ways, it certainly is an ironic mockery. So, you know, everyone's out there asking, should Trump be held liable for actions of January 6th protesters? And I mean, this is going to be the talking point. Don't even question whether or not it was an insurrection. Of course it was an insurrection, but should Trump be held liable? You know, and this is the way in the media they brainwash you with, like, the side point that they mention as the thing they're really trying to drill home into your head through repetition, David.
That's a good point. The very essence of good propaganda is repetition, and they've certainly done that. They've created a whole narrative with this phony congressional committee on the insurrection they had for going on 6 months to really play this up, hype it up. But of course, so much actual footage has been released now about what it actually looked like inside the building. And basically, if you look at the footage, most of it was very calm. The guards actually let the people just sort of walk through the building. It was very calm for the most part. I guess a few people took souvenirs, and some guy dared to put his feet up on his on the desk of Nancy Pelosi, you know, and take a few papers from her desk and shit, right, and stuff. But really nothing that would even be close to an insurrection. Insurrection, you go in there with weapons and you arrest people and you take people, for trial or whatever. It wasn't even anywhere close to that. It's so absurd, this whole thing. But again, this doesn't mean that Trump is a good guy. We're watching a big drama happen here, and we're supposed to react to one side or the other of this drama, one side of the dialectic. And I think now is a good time to not react. You're watching a play here, and we're going to see some very interesting things go down over the next year. You're going to have, at the very least, one half of the country that's very angry if Trump is not allowed to run. I do believe that's how it's going to play out. I think he's going to be knocked out of the candidacy, possibly even by machinations from within the party, because you have a lot of people inside the Republican Party that are actually, you know, double agents or rhinos or globalists, whatever you want to call them. Mitt Romney's daughter runs the GOP. She's the head honcho now. And so that ought to tell you something. And really, you know, if you think about it, Ron DeSantis is actually someone that the insiders could trust very well. He's a former JAG. He was in the military. He knows how to take orders. He flew to Israel as soon as he was elected governor and, you know, put the yarmulke on and went to the Wailing Wall with his whole cabinet and paid homage to his masters. And then more recently, you know, he flew to Israel to sign a hate speech bill, which I doubt is even legal. I don't see how a state governor can sign a state bill in a foreign country, and that's actually legal. I've never heard that brought up before. But nonetheless, and also he was a member in college. He went to Yale, and he's a member of the St. Elmo Secret Society, which is, you know, along the lines of Skull and Bones. There's four secret societies at Yale that are all very powerful, and he's in one of them. So, you know, and actually he participated in torture at Guantanamo Bay back in the day. So he's kind of made his bones. He's a made man, you could say. And I think he is somebody that the insiders can trust to follow orders, because that's the most important thing with the president, is someone who can sell the agenda to the public and follow orders.
Okay. No, that's an excellent assessment of my governor in my new home state here of Florida. And that's the best, though, that you could hope for, unfortunately. I mean, all issues considered. I mean, there isn't really a state where you could think of a governor who's better. And yet he has everything you mentioned there. And that's it. You still have to be a complete cuck to Israel and Jewish power in the U.S. You know, that you can't even hope for in a governor, basically. But there might be some other little perks you get depending on what state you're in. You know that.
Well, and I'll just say this, Richard, just from this whole, war. It's not really a war in Gaza because only one side has an army. But we've really seen the mask coming off of almost all so-called conservatives in America. They're pretty much all Israeli first kosher conservatives. There really is no real conservative movement in America. I think we need to accept that and use that as a starting point from this point forward, because paying homage and having loyalty to Israel is not benefiting America in any way.
You know, speaking of which, I mean, this talk of Nikki Haley being Trump's running mate. Well, yeah, I mean, she's a total Israel pawn. I mean, when she was ambassador to the UN, right? I mean, she was as much in Israel's back pocket as anyone who's ever had that role.
Oh, she's horrible. I can't stand that woman. She's the worst. It's interesting. Her big jump in the polls came right after she went around to several campaign stops and said, it's time for Mr. Netanyahu to finish the job. So that's interesting. That's when she got the big bump in the polls, which are all fake. Americans don't care about, killing Palestinians and Israel taking more territory. But she's showing her loyalty to her masters. And, it's really pathetic. Her other big thing is, I don't know if you watched the debate, the final debate. It was just worse than all the other ones. Just terrible. But she said that we have to ban TikTok because TikTok is making our young people anti-Semitic. And for every 30 minutes that a young person is on TikTok, they become 17% more anti-Semitic. That's what she said. She just made it all up. There's no statistics proving that. It's just that you have a lot of individual users on TikTok that are giving their opinion about what's going on. And so, again, she's terrible. And she has a whole bunch of sexual scandals in her closet. She had two major affairs, allegedly, when she was governor of her state, and she the allegations against her were quite credible. The men that came forward were in her inner circle and had details about things. And then she also allegedly had a MILF incident with one of her younger campaign workers. So she's not a good choice, and the fact that Trump would even consider her really ought to make people think about what's going on here.
Interesting background, for sure. There's a quote from one of these dissenting judges in Colorado's Supreme Court saying, Trump being denied due process, this is like nothing he's seen in 33 years. Now, what's the 33-year reference? I mean, would that be what you were referring to? That you're just the suspicion? I don't know. What election were you referring to? You were talking about one of the Bushes, right?
The Bush versus Gore happened in 2000, so that's 23 years ago.
No, yeah. Well, what's 33?
Well, 33 is obviously some kind of Freemasonic indication. I don't know what he's referring to. That's very strange.
yeah, not really too clear. And, there's not really details on the interpretation of it there. And so, I don't know. Do you think that this will stick with this Colorado thing, and that they'll just hold with that, or it'll be overturned? I don't know. What do you think, David? Because in the past you thought he was going to prison, or at the very least he won't be president.
Oh, I think that he could very well go to prison. We'll see. It's very interesting, though. I think the Supreme Court's going to have to hear this. I don't think they can run away from it. And there's, I'd be surprised if they don't strike it down. It's such terrible law to actually have seven judges keep a candidate off the ballot. It's an awful precedent. But, these days it's really hard to know. The whole legal system's kind of gone off the rails. But I'd be surprised if the Supreme Court doesn't overturn that. But who knows? We're living in very strange times, Richard.
Yes. No, indeed we are. And, this one's just in, actually. We're hearing the Biden administration did have links to this Trump ballot ban in Colorado debacle. While many are focusing on the Ivy League Democrats in the Supreme Court who voted to kick Trump off the 2024 primary ballot, there's underlying case itself, well, evidence maybe they meant, that there's a direct link to the Biden administration. The Colorado case against Trump was brought to Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, headed by President and CEO Noah Bookbinder. That's really his name, I guess, who sits on the Biden administration's Department of Homeland Security Advisory Council. And so, yeah, that was reported by the Daily Caller. And then they're saying it gets better. Bookbinder is a former trial attorney for the Department of Justice's Public Integrity Section and former chief counsel for criminal justice for the Senate Judiciary Committee. He repeatedly donated to former President Barack Obama's reelection campaign during his tenure with the Senate, Federal Elections Commission records show. The DHS appointed Bookbinder and 32 other new members of 2HSAC in March 2022, ahead of the council's first meeting under Secretary Mayorkas. Again, all reported by the Daily Caller. I hear the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC. Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Wednesday co-host, Mr. David Scorpio. Finishing up the bits from that last article, DHS Secretary Mayorkas said in a March 2022 press release related to HSAC, quote, "Together we will ensure that the department is best positioned to meet the challenges we confront today, foresee and be ready for the challenges of tomorrow, capitalize on the power of technological innovation, and serve our country by living up to our highest ideals. Our department is privileged to benefit from the experience, vision, and creativity of these incredibly accomplished individuals," unquote. According to Lynch, HSAC has met numerous times where they've produced various reports for Mayorkas, ranging from, quote unquote, disinformation to supply chains. A bookbinder was in attendance during the September 2023 in-person meeting of HSAC, according to meeting minutes. He also worked on a report produced by the DHS's, quote, Openness and Transparency Subcommittee, unquote, providing recommendations for how DHS can become more transparent without compromising its law enforcement mission. Sure. Okay, so yeah, NOAA bookbinder, David.
Oy vey. Well, you know, to be honest, I've never heard of this guy before, but on break, I just did a couple of little searches on him. He certainly looks Jewish. He sets off my Judar when I look at a picture of him. I can't confirm that yet, but he kind of looks like this Mayorkas character. And you know, Mayorkas that appointed him to his position. So again, we're seeing most likely Jewish nepotism in effect here, and they kind of look similar. They're both bald and, you know, kind of Jewy looking. NOAA bookbinder. It's, you know, so he went to Yale for his undergraduate work. I have no idea if he joined any secret societies, but again, this guy's almost certainly Jewish. I'd bet on it. So there you go.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of chatter out there, you know, a lot of people trying to get in the limelight for their two cents on this. Vivek Ramaswamy, for example, you know, that young global leader of the World Economic Forum himself, is out there threatening to boycott the Colorado primary. Let's see, Turley rages and Luntz warns of backfiring lawfare against Trump in a response to the Colorado Supreme Court's Tuesday ruling that former President Donald Trump is ineligible to run for president in the state under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Vivek Ramaswamy has vowed to withdraw from the Colorado GOP primary ballot and has demanded that fellow candidates Ron DeSantis, Chris Christie, and Nikki Haley do the same. Quote, "This is what an actual attack on democracy looks like," Ramaswamy wrote on X. "In an un-American, unconstitutional, and unprecedented decision, a cabal of Democrat judges are barring Trump from the ballot in Colorado." And now after he makes these remarks, Colorado GOP unveils caucus loophole after state supremes boot Trump from ballot. We're hearing in another article, in response to the Colorado Supreme Court's decision to bar former President Donald Trump from appearing on state ballots, the Colorado Republican Party has trotted out a loophole whereby they'll switch from a primary ballot system to a caucus system. David, your thoughts?
Well, I've always thought from the start that Ramaswamy is an agent for Trump. I think he works for Trump on some level. And obviously, he doesn't have a chance of winning the election. So for him to say, "Oh, I'm going to pull out too," it doesn't really mean much. And there's no way anyone else is going to go along with that because they're all in on the fix. They all want to get whatever meat they can strip from the rest of the bones of America. And of course, you know, another kind of the opposite of Ramaswamy is this Krispy Kreme Christie. Who his whole purpose is just to bash Trump and to turn the public against Trump. He has no chance of winning either. He knows it. And you can look for him to get some kind of a position on a think tank or, you know, some kind of foundation of some kind, some kind of very cushy job where you show up four times a year and get paid six figures. That's the kind of reward people like that usually get. And so, you know, really, it's going to come down to, what's her name? Nikki Haley. That's not a real name. And, of course, Ron DeSantis. And it is kind of strange that Ron DeSantis had this debate with Gavin Newsom. I found that to be very strange. It was a nationally televised debate. Why did they have a debate if, you know, Newsom's not even a candidate? It's a very strange thing going on there, Richard.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just like they want to have that on record for any changes down the road or plans for a future candidacy, if not. Well, stick around, folks. Bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
We've been too long American dreaming. I think we've all lost the way.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They they can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Wednesday co-host, David Scorpio. And so, I mean, yeah, we keep getting more and more interesting input on this, of course, distracting us from all other relevant topics, unfortunately. Dan Patrick and Ron DeSantis are out there saying we can remove Joe Biden from the ballot. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick flips script on Democrats after Trump gets barred from the ballot in Colorado. This was reported, they even have some Fox News clips, and Ron DeSantis on X via Florida's Voice, but that's some, more video footage on X there. But Dan Patrick, quote, maybe we should take Joe Biden off the ballot in Texas for allowing 8 million people to cross the border since he's been president, unquote. And breaking, Ron DeSantis reacts to Colorado Supreme Court ruling as a campaign event this morning. Quote, there was no trial on any of this. Could we just say that Biden can't be on the ballot because he let the 8 million illegals in the country and violated the Constitution, unquote. Interesting, those gentlemen are mentioning pretty much the exact same words and talking point there, David.
Well, that's not going to happen. There's not a chance in the world you're going to have a sitting president kept off the ballot. That's absurd. And, you know, Governor Hot Wheels down there in Texas, I don't buy this guy's act for a minute. He puts this stupid, buoys up in the middle of the Rio Grande River, like that's going to stop people from crossing. They're only like a foot underwater, a foot above water. It's nothing. It looks good on camera, but it's not going to do anything. Then what does he do? He goes, well, I'm going to get back at those stupid liberals. I'm going to send all those illegal immigrants on buses deeper into the country, into you know, blue sanctuary cities. Well, that sounds great, but if you look at it, what he's really doing is he's actually putting these illegal aliens deeper inside America to a place where they'll never be found, instead of just shipping them back to Mexico, which would have been a much better idea. But again, I think this guy's in a Governor Hot Wheels is a phony. Ron DeSantis is a phony, too. Again, there is no conservative movement in America. All we have are kosher conservatives.
I really can't disagree with that at all, unfortunately. Yes. And even though if you had so-called conservatives, we know how much the general mindset is lacking in that, in the people of that party overall. So, yeah, I mean, there are many hurdles, obstacles to, you know, a better path forward. We would have to get past. But, you know, again, we've spent so much just on that. And that's kind of maybe what they want, just like January 6th, this whole thing in Colorado. Get everyone focusing on that and talking about that. Oh, as long as we can make sure Trump is on the ballot in all 50 states, you know, give people a mission so that they don't talk about anything else going on, you know, at home or worldwide. Certainly they want attention off Gaza, you know, and well, Zelensky, he could use a little attention, you know. I mean, the poor man is, no, I'm not going to say poor man. I detest him. But, it's curious because people are eating up this as far as an attention grabber.
Well, and, you know, some people are saying, well, this is proof that Donald Trump is a good guy. No, it's not. It just, all it proves is that he has some very powerful people that don't like him because perhaps he didn't play along with the little pantomime play of the peaceful transfer of power like he was supposed to. But let's not forget, Donald Trump is 100% on board with Israel, the bombing of children, whatever they want to do. We'll give them more money, not a problem. Keep killing those children. He has no problems with it, just like all these other kosher conservatives, unfortunately.
And as far as Ukraine, which I mentioned, for quite a long time throughout 2022 and 2023, the Washington Post had a prominent tab from its masterhead for war in Ukraine. But you know, it's been noticed that this long-featured war in Ukraine tab, which has been there again since the start of the war, going back to February 2022, has disappeared. And so, you know, could that be a sign that, you know, those in the know, you know, those who are in control, for example, of Echo, 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 Washington Post, are just, you know, preparing for what, you know, needs attention and what is no longer to get headlines, David?
Well, explain what you're referring to. What could be an indication?
Well, I mean, the fact that the Washington Post removed war in Ukraine as one of their go-to tabs, you know, on their main page, you know, their masterhead of tabs, that'd be an indication they know that. I mean, this is about to get the plug pulled for good. Like I don't know, you know, do you think it will continue on and on? At the very least, I would think things would be dragged down to a trickle, kind of like Afghanistan kind of a vibe or something, right?
Well, you know, they're tying together the aid for Israel and the aid for Afghanistan, or might as well, let's throw some money in for those guys too, for Ukraine. So, you know, they're tying those two together. And then below that is border security. That's less important than the two wars we're going to pay for Jews. But I expect it to keep going on. I think there's going to be some type of peace deal made. But it's probably not going to happen until, you know, sometime next year, because, you know, they're going to send this money. It's coming. There's no stopping it. And again, we need to stop looking at this world like, well, who's going to win the war? Well, no one's going to win the war. The objective is to empty out the country with as much as possible, destroy as much as possible, and then have a peace deal of some kind where Russia keeps some property, some of the new territory. And then just not forget, too, that BlackRock, Larry Fink, has already made a deal for the reconstruction of Ukraine with over $1 trillion. That's coming. So we're going to see a fake and gay Las Vegas style, kosher country emerge out of the ashes of Ukraine when this is all said and done. And that's been the objective all along.
Oh, yes. No, I agree 100%. I've had the same impression since the beginning. And, well, I don't know how much this could be even possible as far as the numbers available. But we're seeing a new claim of Zelensky possibly mobilizing 500,000 new soldiers. I don't know. Let's see. He said Tuesday the Ukrainian military leadership proposed mobilizing up to from 450,000 to 500,000 new conscripts to fight Russia as Kiev is dealing with a manpower shortage. So where are they going to get them, though? You know,
women and children, Richard. Let's get the 14, 15-year-olds out there and 40 and 50-year-old women. Let's get rid of as many actual real Ukrainians as possible. And you can be certain that Jewish Ukrainians are not over there fighting on the front lines. You can rest assured of that.
Well, as far as this Red Sea incident, I don't know how you would describe the ongoing situation, at least it's unfolded since. We're hearing 100 container ships have been diverted. Insurance is surging, of course, due to those loads and vessels as the Red Sea chaos worsens. Another one here, most large container ships abandon Red Sea as key trade route freezes. And we also heard regarding Israel itself, Israel proposes week-long truce to gain release of 40 hostages. Your thoughts on any of those, David?
Well, isn't it interesting that we're reduced to worrying about the poorest country, arguably the poorest country in the world, Yemen, and some ragtag group of rebels that are shutting down everything? Again, I don't buy this story. This is another way. If you look at it from the point of view of the agenda, this serves the agenda because it's going to increase inflation by making shipping more expensive and make gas and oil prices higher as well. And those are two parts of the agenda that are very important for what they want to do. So the idea that Yemeni rebels are having an impact like the way they claim, this reeks of ISIS and all these other controlled boogeymen that were created by the West to serve a particular purpose. So the idea that we've got to worry about the poorest country in the world, it's really kind of laughable that we're supposed to believe that.
Yes, no, you make good points again, as usual, per usual there, which I don't really have any issue upon. And, well, we're seeing, well, of course, you know, this whole thing of places busing illegal immigrants to blue cities, this is ridiculous. I mean, they wouldn't dare, you know, send them out of the country. You know, on vessels. I want Governor Greg Abbott to do that next time. You know, Chicago mayor is raging right now over buses of immigrants from Texas. So Greg Abbott thinks he's cool to send them to blue cities. How is that helping keeping them in the United States? I mean, sure, okay, yeah, we should have some sovereign state of acknowledgement of the separate states. But nonetheless, I mean, come on, you know, he would get chewed out far more if he were to send a bunch of them, you know, way far away from the U.S. somewhere before releasing them, you know, and they'd say, oh, look, he was holding them hostage and taking them forcefully to some foreign land and putting their lives in danger. And, You know what I mean, David? But no, he's sending them to blue cities where all the, you know, no matter what, well, they'll just, you know, go into debt further if they have to. A place like Chicago, don't get me started, where I've lived my whole life. I mean, it's so left-leaning. I can't believe it's still upright, David.
Well, again, this is part of this agenda, this replacement-level immigration and creating inflation, creating housing shortages. That's why these people are being used as pawns. And look, anyone that's ever crossed into Mexico, I live, you know, in San Diego many years, they just wave you right through. It's not like you have to go through a checkpoint to get into Mexico. So they could just load up the buses and send those people back across the border without any problem at all. But, of course, that's never even considered. But somehow we're supposed to think it's a conservative thing to do to send them off in the middle of the country and other places, not just Chicago. He sent buses out all over the places. Martha's Vineyard was a very a big deal because it's, you know, such a area for extremely rich people. But they've sent buses all over the country. These people are just going to disappear. You'll never hear from them again. And, of course, that serves the agenda.
Well, many, many agendas. Of course, the destruction of the nation, keeping wages low, the overall white genocide agenda, white replacement clergy agenda, but, you know, certainly. And I mean, you know, but I love how people will only complain, because I love how you stress the illegal non-white immigration is doing so much harm and has been for so long. I mean, people want to complain about the country, but act like the illegal immigration is the, as long as they come here legally, they'll completely integrate and they'll be of a mind and moral character to be able to live in our high trust society is somehow the thinking. And it's just not, you know, it's just not the case. But I mean, you know, there are so many ways people are, given a taboo association with some of these things. And of course, the Christian Zionism gets them loyal to Israel. But, you know, the religious mindset can also do a doozy to any racial realism, genetic realism, David.
Well, sure. And, you know, they say that they let 1 million people in per year. I think it's probably more. They admit to that much. Then with chain migration, that each person can bring in 10 family members over time. So that's devastating just by itself. And you brought up a good point that this brings down wages. And Republicans love that because that serves their corporate masters to keep wages as low as possible. And during a time of runaway inflation like we are in now, we don't need more people chasing after the same amount of goods, which is, of course, the classic definition of inflation. And if you add that together with the lower wages, because you're going to have more people chasing work, especially at the low end of the job spectrum, keeping wages very low, artificially low through illegal immigration, nobody can argue that this is good for the country. And the Republicans haven't done a damn thing to try to stop it. They huff and puff and you know, this is not right. We got to do something. But at the end of the day, they never do, because they actually like it too. Because, as I said, they like the low wage aspect of it, or at least their corporate masters do. And that's another part of the agenda.
It makes me think of some of the economic I didn't get to. Wasn't sure how much we would, but central banks are causing something worse than inflation. One article was bringing up, although the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank's message regarding interest rate cuts seem clear, reiterating their commitment to reducing inflation, the market is expecting between 5 and 6 interest rates cuts between 125 and 150 basis points in the next 12 months. This shows us the bubble bias of many investors. We live in a world where 2 generations of market participants have only seen rate cuts and massive liquidity injections. Central banks have created high perverse incentives in markets that should have been prevented if they truly followed their mandate of stable prices. On top of it, the ECB faces another risk it must avoid, following the siren call of interventionists if it wants the Euro project to survive. And it goes off a bit more about the European Central Bank rather than our Federal Reserve. But I mean, you know, it's a completely detached stock market over here and has been for so long, you know, from reality. It's just completely detached. Recent disparity. Economic expectations diverge from actual stock prices. 58% of U.S. households are now investing in the stock market, allegedly. I don't know what you think of that, David, and just some of this over valuation and the trillions of derivatives.
But, yeah, you know, the stock market is totally detached from reality. Anyone that has followed the fundamentals of the stock market will tell you that. And it's hard to explain and without going, well, gee, what's going on? What's wrong? Something's not right about all this.
Right.
And yeah, and let's be honest, the American economy has been running on essentially free money since about 2006, 2005, 2006 is when they started quantitative easing, which is just a fancy term for printing lots of money. That's really been the lifeblood of our economy since 2005, 2006. So it's really no surprise that we're in a situation where we have runaway inflation. And, you know, there's not much they can do about that. Even though they've raised the interest rates a little bit, they're still injecting tons of money into the stock market through all kinds of strange mechanisms that really have nothing to do with market forces. We don't live in a free market economy anymore. We really need to understand that. We live in a highly manipulated fake reality when it comes to the economy.
When you listen to just some of this raw data comparison, even in the headline, three Wall Street mega banks hold $157.3 trillion in derivatives. That's $56.7 trillion more than the entire world's GDP last year. Now, derivatives, I mean, it is very ridiculous, but I mean, it's basically a commodity on the stock market, which consists of someone's debt. And it's just, you know, it's just ridiculous how many ways these Jews in the market can package something undesirable and they profit from it. And this is just, yeah, it's just a microcosm of the macrocosm. But I mean, yeah, that when I first learned just some of these basic ideas of just repackaging debt and but you know, yeah, so 157, that's 56 trillion more than the entire world's gross domestic product of last year. They're saying that there's three times as much debt they're holding right now, that they're playing with on Wall Street, for that matter, at the same time, than what the entire world could produce as a gross domestic product from last year. It's so unrealistic, a disparity between ultra rich and poor. Now, David, I mean, it's you know, as children, we would see this more in some sort of dystopian like film that you wouldn't imagine could really be how much offset you have in the world. We were on our way, and I mean, things were already pretty bad then compared to a couple of hundred years ago, even though when we were children, David.
Well, you know, the derivative market is supposed to be over $1.5 quadrillion. That's the next step beyond a trillion. So that's 1,000 trillion, and a trillion is 1,000 billion. So we're off into fantasy land. The stock market really is a kosher casino at the end of the day. It really is a giant kosher casino. And, you know, they're going to keep it going as long as they want to. I don't think they're going to crash the market because it benefits the people in power. And so it's just going to keep going on for now. And let's not forget that the stock market actually adds to inflation greatly. It's another reason why we have so much inflation is the phony stock market.
No, indeed. And then how about the idea that 58% of U.S. households are now investing in the stock market? I find that hard to believe. People can hardly afford the necessities and are living paycheck to paycheck out there. We're seeing claims like 80% of Americans are like that, David. So no matter, I mean, you know, a lot of them live outside their means, perhaps. At least maybe 20% of that is such, 20 to 40, you know, just put everything on credit card, but trying to keep up with the Joneses. And, you know, even if you know, you're not making what you were 10 or 20 years ago, you're still trying to live like that for some of their situations. But how could 58% of U.S. households be investing in the stock market right now?
It makes a great statistic. It makes it look like, oh, the little man's really benefiting from all this. I don't buy it. Maybe they're counting the 401k pensions involved in that. Who knows? But you know, the average person doesn't have any real money beyond a couple grand invested in the stock market. It's absurd. And I think it's designed to make it look like, well, see, the little guy's benefiting from all this.
Indeed. No, yeah, I think you're spot on with that analysis. And so, well, you know, just a couple moments left in this hour. Hearing another young footballer is dead in Melbourne. Melbourne's football community has been rocked by the death of a rising star who lived and breathed the world game. Jeremias Sprague, a 20-year-old, died from a suspected heart attack on December 15 in suburban Melbourne while on the pitch doing what he loved, according to his heartbroken father. The captain of Berwick City, South Carolina reserve squad this season, dreamed of one day playing. See, I don't know why they're going off into something totally unrelated there. But yeah, no, you know, we keep hearing this, you know, young, healthy athletes dropping dead, David. I mean, it couldn't be anything related to the mRNA shots, of course.
Oh, no, it's been very common for 20-year-olds to, drop dead of a heart attack. That's always happened, Richard. That's how they're trying to kind of plant this in our minds, that this is the new normal. That's perfectly normal. And, just the other day at the ceremony for Senator Dale O'Connor, one of the guards just collapsed. I don't know what happened to her, but she just collapsed, a young woman, seemingly healthy. So, yeah, these shots are bad news, and they're trying to make it like it's perfectly normal for a 20-year-old who's, in prime condition, an athlete, to just drop dead of a heart attack. It's, trying to manipulate our minds into believing this is somehow normal.
Indeed. Quite normal. It looks like there were a couple of other geopolitical points I wanted to get your take on. I know we have an additional host joining us for hour two, and so we'll have plenty to keep listeners interested. Stick around, folks, and please support Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page. Plenty of ways you can help out. And there's a John Stadmiller book drive still going on, second year of this. And of course, books from his personal library. More details in the second hour. But please keep us on the air here at Republic Broadcasting Network, the canary in the coal mine of free speech. We'll be back.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.